I am not much of a green thumb. Yet, because I love to cook, and I love cooking with herbs, buying new herbs can get quite costly. So 2 years ago, during the whole pandemic, I started growing my own herb garden. I planted a wide variety of herbs. There's basil, rosemary, there's thyme, there's sage, oregano, chives, the list goes on. I even did some peppermint and spearmint. And I wanted them off the ground, so I bought 2 huge planters. So like they're about this high. And I potted them in 2 planters. And I have them grouped, spaced out nicely, so one beside another. You know, having learned how to nurture an herb garden, I realized the key in nurturing it is learning how to tell the health of the plant. This is mostly done by learning to read the leaves, to read the leaves of the plants. The leaves reveal and reflect the health of the plant, the condition of it. Now, we all know that plants grow when there are 3 things: when there's water, when there's sunlight, and when there's good soil. Without any one of the 3, it won't grow, or it won't grow properly or healthily. So, however, too much of one is not good either. And some plants need more water, some plants need more sunlight, some need more space. Whether I give it enough water or whether I give it too much water is reflected from the leaves. If it's too much water, you know how leaves shiver up and when they're not healthy, right? Leaves are supposed to be healthy, catching on sunlight, but when they start turning, you know that's where that's not good, right? And then when they're starting to be yellow, and then that's when you know something is wrong. But what is wrong? I don't know. So far, what I've said is probably very trivial. You don't need to go to school to learn this. And I'm sure you've seen on your app, on your phone, there's ads. Oh, when you see plants with withered leaves, what do I do? And you scan it, and then you say, oh, okay, give it more water. And then you scan this one. Oh, this one needs more sunlight. It's like, you've already seen these ads, right? But then, is there such an app to scan ourselves as a Christian? It's like, oh, this guy, oh, he needs to go to church more. Then scan this guy. Oh, you need to read the Bible more. It's like, I don't know, right? Now, so if I tell you, your spiritual life has a lot of similarities with growing an herb garden. What if I tell you the Bible even drew this parallel between nurturing a garden and your spiritual life? Okay? Now, as Pastor Cindy just mentioned, we are in a series called Words to Live By, a series where we list out why the Bible is so important to us, why we should read this collection of books. I won't even call it a book. Well, it is in the form of a book, but it's many, many books. Last week, Pastor Gabriel, from the story of Exodus, helped us to recognize the importance of God's words. We don't want to be Bible illiterates. We don't want to be idolaters. We don't want to worship a God of our own projection, of our own imagination. This evening, we want to address our proper attitude towards God's words. And the key phrase tonight is steep in the word of God. Flourish with fruits of blessing. That is the attitude. Because like growing an herb garden, making excuses and not watering the plant will only lead to your garden dying on you. Making excuses and not having the rightful attitude towards God's word will lead to the death of your spiritual life. And that has a much severe and dire consequences. But the reality is, we are too busy, too distracted, too tired, too blank. You filled it in yourself. We are too to give God's word its proper attention. We make excuses for ourselves, believing we can always push it for another day, believing there are always more important things to do in life than to read the word of God. I may even say we abuse God's patience and take advantage of his love. We say to ourselves, God is gracious. He understands this project is super important and I'm busy. God won't get mad at me. He knows I need to study for this exam. I just had a 6-hour shift after classes this morning. I need sleep. I will read the Bible tomorrow morning. The harsh reality is, this is exactly what the devil wants you to believe. The devil wants us to lie to ourselves, using every mean possible to keep us separated away from the Word of God. He wants us to believe we can legitimize our laziness. He wants us to think we can live without our spiritual water and sunlight. He wants us to believe reading the Bible is torturous. It is so hard. It is so difficult to understand. And instead, we feed ourselves not with the Word of God. We feed ourselves with TikTok, with IG. We feed ourselves with junk that's pushed to us by some algorithm in some computer somewhere. And for a split second, we believe that what we read, what we see, will give us life. It may give us that split second satisfaction. But quickly, we're brought back to our loneliness and emptiness. If we do fall for this lie, we will turn dry, shiver up, wither, and die. In the Old Testament, there's one form of Jewish writing called wisdom literature. Now, most of us know the book of Proverbs. But also part of this collection of wisdom literature is Psalm 1. Or you might be thinking, are the Psalms wisdom literature? Yes and no. No, not every psalm in the entire Psalter is part of the wisdom literature. There are some psalms of praise and psalms of thanksgiving. These are like hymns, songs sung by the Israelites to celebrate God. There are laments, the outcries of the psalmist before God. And there are psalms of wisdom, writings of wisdom, instructions on how to live life and exist in relationship with God. These psalms, like other wisdom literature, are usually structured in parallelism, meaning in contrast between the blessed and the wicked, the wise and the fool. Psalm 1 proclaims the truth that following the wisdom of God is the best and wisest way to live. Psalm 1 stresses the importance of ordering one's life according to God's words. So today, I invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1:1 reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Psalm 1:1 begins by identifying the person who is blessed. Blessed is one who here we are presented with what I call the progression of holiness. Or if we look at it with a negative lens, the downward spiral of the wicked. There are three verbs in this verse. Walk, stand, and sit. Now, can you see any meaning behind these three verbs when they are purposely structured in this particular order? It seems there is a decreasing amount of movement. First is walk in the counsel of the wicked. Similar to following instructions. It is not your decision per se, but you oblige to the advice that was given to you, believing those people who gave you the advice knows better or understands better than you. And as you listen more and more to the advices or the counsels of these people, you begin to think like them. You begin to agree with them. You would take side and stand in line with them. Eventually, you become one of them. You sit with them, dine with them. You talk in a similar tone. You become, you be one of them. Blessed is one who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is one who will not be influenced by the ungodly. The ungodly, those whose lives are governed by evil passions. Blessed is one who do not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is one who will not enter into fellowship with sinners. One who will not align themselves with sinners. Sinners are those who choose to do wrong. Those who deliberately neglect and despise righteousness. Blessed is one who do not sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed is one who will not join in the attitude and behaviors of the ungodly. One who refuses to join the ranks of those who mock God, who mocks the righteous, who oppose whatever is virtuous. Verse 1 describes what the blessed one does not do. Verse 2 describes what he or she does. So verse 2. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The first word we'll cover is delight. The blessed person's delight is in the law of the Lord. This person desires relationship with God. This person wants to spend time with God. This person desires to know God, to understand Him, to be with Him. The Hebrew word translated delight is related to a word that can also mean to bend. So the blessed person bends towards God. His or her inclination is to meditate on God's word. Now, instead of letting the words of the ungodly influence his or her thinking, a blessed person wants God's word to influence and even take control of his or her life. Reading and obeying the scripture is extremely important to the blessed one. This person does not merely give God's word a cursory reading, just fulfilling a task. Neither does this person engage the scripture occasionally. Not at all. He or she digs into the text, allowing it to steep in his or her soul, whether it is day or night. Deep in the Word of God. Who here are tea drinkers? Who drinks tea? We got coffee drinkers or tea drinkers, right? It's like cats and dogs, it's never both. In order to brew a good cup of tea, Asians, right? We brew teas. We have to allow the tea leaves enough time to steep its flavor. You cannot rush it. There's no hurrying the process. There's no instant tea. It's not like instant noodles. It's not fast food. Tea takes time. Steep in the Word of God, day and night. Now the phrase day and night, does it imply a duration of time? Is it like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? This is all I do, engage it all the time. Think of it more like regularity, consistency, a habitual behavior, regardless if you want to or not, regardless if you feel like it or not. It's deep in the Word of God, day and night. Second word, meditate. While secular society and some other faith practices also use this term, meditation, this word in the biblical text means to fill the mind with scripture. To meditate on scripture involves pondering what the Bible teaches about God's character. It involves thinking deeply about His word, thinking deeply about what His word teaches about ourselves and others. As we meditate, we cherish the promises and precepts we find in the Bible. We heed to His commands. We control our sin and confess them. And we conform our thoughts to God's thoughts. The blessed person is not influenced by the words of the ungodly, but deeply influenced by God's words. So steep in the Word of God, night and day. The psalmist then gives an analogy of this blessed person in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. From this analogy, we can break it down into three paths, or three parts. Word of God nurtures. The blessed person, one who follows and considers the Word of God, is like a tree planted by streams of water. They are spiritually healthy, vibrant, productive, and successful because they take advantage of an abundant supply of the water that is the Word of God. In such a person's life, the inspired word becomes the illustrated word. He or she obeys and lives out the truth of God's words. The words does not remain a cognitive knowledge, but nourishes the person and ultimately alter the person's thinking and behavior. This leads to the second part. The Word of God shapes. It shapes us. Like leaves that does not wither. So coming back to the herb garden we started with in the beginning. Shivering and withering leaves are a reflection of a dying plant. These are behaviors. So when these are behaviors that reflect a dying life. When our spiritual life shivers and withers, it is also a reflection of our dying spiritual life. If a person is consistently steep in the Word of God, receiving the nourishment and nutrients by meditating on the words, then his or her life should reflect as such. His life would be prosperous. His life would be leaves, like leaves, that is strong and healthy. And it leads to the third part. The word of God blesses. The word of God blesses us. But the purpose of this blessing is not so that we can keep it to ourselves. The purpose of this blessing is so that we can be a blessing to others. We see this in the form of the fruit. The fruit of the tree, this tree planted by the streams of water, yields its fruit. And this fruit is an outflow of the life of this tree. So as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, when we are planted by this stream of water, we will also bear fruits. And these fruits are blessings to others. The fruits of this tree is also a sign of its growth and abundance. As Paul illustrated in his letter to the church in Galatia, we bear fruits. We are supposed to bear fruits. Blessed people are supposed to bear fruits. It is a natural outcome of our growth in Christ. And in Galatians 5, we read these fruits. What are these fruits? We read that they are the fruits of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And when we steep in the Word of God, we will also flourish with fruits of blessing. One last point. The fruit does not grow as soon as the tree is planted, but the fruits will appear in season. Just as the test sets, in its season, fruit will yield. Spiritually productive lives is one of growth. And in due season, with the consistent watering of God's words, will bear fruit. Fruit comes naturally, not intentionally. The plant does not keep thinking, I need to bear fruit, I need to bear fruit, I need to bear fruit. No. The plant just seeps the water that is applied to it. It takes in the nutrients that it receives, and fruits will come. So how does this all happen? How can we become the blessed? It is really quite simple. You simply have to choose. You simply have to decide if you want to be nourished by the Word of God or continue to believe in the lie that your spiritual life can grow outside of God's Word. It's not much of a choice, actually. Well, making a choice is the beginning. Sticking to that choice is what we call discipleship. I was scrolling on Instagram one day. Yes, I do too scroll on Instagram. I was scrolling on Instagram one day and I came across a post. And I believe it's very fitting in illustrating this point. It is a picture and it says, first, it is an intention. Then a behavior, then a habit, then a practice, then a second nature, then it's simply who you are. Becoming the blessed is a choice that takes intention. It is a decision that takes commitment. As Denzel Washington once said, without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without consistency, you'll never finish. Consistency is what builds behaviors. Behavior that becomes a habit, that turns into a practice, that eventually over time, with continuous practice, becomes second nature. Then, only then, becomes part of who you are as a person. So how would you choose? But there's also another side of the story. Yes, it is our choice. Yes, it is our commitment. But it is not only that. If we think we can do this just by our own effort, if we think by my willpower, I will read the Word of God consistently and build this into my habit, you need something more. We need to pray and come before God and ask God's spiritual power. We need to ask for His help. Because it is not just by our own intention. We need God to transplant us from the rotten soil that we are in and plant us into the stream of water so that we can get this nutrients, the stream of flowing water. But really, how do we really do this though? Do we just pick up the Bible and turn to its first page and start reading? I do encourage you to do that. Yes, that's one way of doing it. You need strong willpower. Usually, when you come to church long enough, you'll hear people, yeah, I died in the wilderness with the Israelites. I couldn't make it out of the wilderness. Died in the book of Leviticus. As a church, we do something called Enter Through the Veil. It is a Bible reading plan. A Bible reading plan that we, all of us, engage into, and we follow a schedule, and we read the Bible together as a community. You're not doing this by yourself. You're not at this alone. And there are two paths. There are two paths to this. We tailor this to different people. There's one path called the Meditational Reading Edition. Well, big words. It's for those people who desire to meditate with God's Word and pray deeply. For both of these paths, the whole process takes about 20 minutes. You know how much you can do in 20 minutes, or how many 20 minutes you've wasted on your phone? Or in the washroom? Let's be honest, right? 20 minutes, that's all it takes. So one of this is the Meditational Reading Edition, one track. Another track is the Overview Reading track, which, with this schedule, you will read through the entire Bible in 1 year. Sounds, what? Yeah, it's possible. This thick book, yeah, you can actually read through this in 1 year. And there are people crazy enough to do this with you. As we embark on this journey of growth as a church, I invite you to commit with us to consistently dive into the Word of God, having the right attitude, speaking against all the excuses in your head that pulls you away from God, becoming the person God intended us to be, nourished by His Word, His truth, His life. Deep in the Word of God, flourish with fruits of blessings. Can we all pray? Let's bow down in a word of prayer. God, we thank You that You have left us with this Bible, this words. All that You want to tell us is in here, in our hand. We hold this book time after time, and how often we miss what's inside. So Lord, help us build our lives upon these words. Help us to dive deep into your word and let our lives be transformed as we grow with the water that you're feeding us, the sunlight that you're nourishing us with. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.